Good morning, everybody. Woo! Wow, the crowd is huge. It's different from Cheras. To all the mothers, happy Mother's Day. Today, if you have any requests, remember, you must ask it today. Okay, even if your baby is not out yet, also can. It's valid one, huh? Okay. My name is Lydia. I'm originally from Batu Pahat. I'm currently serving Every Nation Cheras. Give you a bit a glance of my family photo. You can see I'm married to the most handsome man in the world, correct or not? Okay. I should save it for Father's Day, maybe, right? Okay, and I have two boys. One is 5 years old and one is 4 years old. Even as today is Mother's Day, right? Have you ever thought about the weird things you pick up from your mom? God, not. You can start thinking. Okay. So I was asking myself this question, what are the things that I pick up from my mom? And ding, there's one thing that came. Since young, I sit my mom's car. When we reach a traffic light, when it's yellow light, she chiong ah. Okay, how many of you, yellow light is chiong one, not press brake one? Please don't pick up your hands, okay? And I found out when I married my husband, when we reach a traffic light, yellow light, he pressed brake, and I don't understand. So I asked him, why you can't show? In time one, can one? Then he looked at me one kind, so I know it was in my blood, not his blood, okay? And the other thing that I really, really see my mom one is her faith. Until today, my mom is 76 years old. Every morning, if I'm at Batu Pahat house, when I wake up, she will always sit at the living room, read her Bible. And she has this signature song. I don't know any of you heard it before. This song goes like that. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Anybody hear this song before? Okay, why I call my mom's signature song? Because if anything in the house spoil, car la, washing machine la, this song will sing first, only we'll look for mechanic. Yeah. And I remember when we were traveling to Penang from KL, I was talking to my husband, talk in the car, then suddenly I see my husband, why not responding to me, okay? And then I look at him, I say, you okay? He tell me, okay. Then after that, 5 minutes later, when we arrived, Penang Bridge was having a jam. And then I saw him turning off the aircon. Then I asked him, you very cold ah? He say, actually, oh, the gas tank went empty. And I look at the time, everybody off work. Penang Bridge quite long, huh? Then I tell him, okay, it's the time already. Are you ready? I started saying, there's power, power. Okay, he looked at me one kind. So he didn't sing lah for the first time, because not in his blood. Ma. Okay? But what happened was, when your car, you don't have petrol, the light will blink, correct or not? So there are certain cars that will show the kilometer, left how many kilometer. Then suddenly, when the kilometer, oh, no more already, left dash, ah, that is where my husband starts saying, there is power, power, wonder-working power. Okay? And today, my title to you is Running on Empty, from a perspective of a mother's faith. And today, I want to share with you from this book, 2 Kings chapter 4. Shall we read together? 1, 2, 3. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil, she replied. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon, every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." Shall we pray? Father God, thank you for today. Thank you that all of us are able here to gather together. And we want to thank you for all the mothers that's in our life, Father God. We pray that today's message will not only inspire the mothers, but will be able to inspire all of us. Open our eyes, open our hearts. Help us to be able to learn from today's message. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Have you ever felt like you cannot be everything that everyone wants you to be? You need to be a mother, you need to be a daughter-in-law, you need to be a daughter. At the same time, you need to be your role in the workplace. And sometimes there's coping all this in your plate, right, can be so overwhelming that one day when you go home, you just sit on the sofa and, wow, cannot lah, I'm just so drained out. I'm just so empty and there's nothing left to give. This is one emptiness, and there's another type of emptiness is on top of all this, you are carrying an extra weight. Other than what's on your plate that you need to cope, you still need to struggle with migraines, health issue, you are going through a divorce, you are taking care of a special need kid. You may just lost a job and you still need to provide for your family. Have you felt that weight of somebody needing you that much and you cannot just sit down and not do anything and rest? Last year, I felt this way. I felt this way beginning of January last year. I was so overwhelmed by everything that's on my plate. I feel so empty. I feel I have nothing to contribute anymore. And what makes it worse is I don't even know how to express what's in my heart. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what happened to me. And when everybody is watching comedy, I was crying. I was putting my kids to sleep. I was tearing. And I don't even know why. I just feel that I'm so drained out. And if you are in this season of your life, I want to assure you that don't be afraid of emptiness, because God does some of His best work when you are empty. And my first point to you today is, when you are in a season of your life of emptiness, let's connect with God. In this story, the widow, out of desperation, she cries out. She cries out, she connects. And give you a background of story. This widow, she just lost her husband. She was left with a lot of debts. She has two kids to take care of. And because she can't pay off the debts, the people want to take the sons away as slaves. Have you ever felt everything is running everywhere and you just can't control? And the husband is the prophet. Serving God, I believe she served along as well. And she never expected her life to be like this. Have you ever felt that you have been serving so faithful and things still happen? Last year, I was so overwhelmed, right? I was in a toxic working environment for 8 years. And I didn't know I was actually suppressing it all this while. I thought, or as long as I don't go near, I don't connect with all this, I'm good. I just step out of the office, then I'm done, you know. But I didn't know actually I was suppressing all this feeling. And suddenly January, when all this feeling is popping up, I felt so empty. I felt, God, everything that I do, right, things still just don't work right, okay? And this emptiness makes me feel that maybe I should get myself involved with more things to fill up this emptiness. So what I did, I went and organized this, I went and organized that, I say yes to this, I say yes to that. And at the end of the day, I get myself so much load of things. I overcommitted myself. And I become so sensitive. I become so easily annoyed. And I get calculative until when I feel I do all this, people don't say thank you, right? I'm like, wow. Why this person don't even thank me for it? And I realize when I go through all this, right, I get disappointed in men, which is not even their fault. I was finding things in men that only God can feel. It shouldn't be from men. And I want to tell you guys that if you are in this season, you know, there are places in life that you feel empty. There are emptiness in life that only God can fill, not men, because they are not designed to do that. So after a few months, I tell myself, 6 months already, I cannot be at this zone. I need to get out of it. I start, when I jump to work about 1.5 hours, I tell myself I need to feed myself with Word of God. I start tuning in to YouTube, listen to sermons. That's where I start feeding myself the Word of God. And I see the changes in myself. I connect with God, and that's where I feel recharged bit by bit, day by day. And that's what the widow do. That's what the widow did. She can choose to be bitterness, right? But she chose to cry out. And after crying out with God, connecting with God, we need to connect to people. And that's where God places people in our life. That's community. And I Google the definition of community. It says that a collection of individuals who interact, support each other, and work together to achieve goals or meet shared needs. And I like the other definition. It talks about a sense of belonging. It talks about exchange of knowledge, experiences, resources. And the most important thing is when you have a community, you have meaningful relationship, and it creates greater well-being. We go to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. When the widow cries out, Elisha asks, "What can I do to help you?" And Elisha asks widow to go and get jars from your neighbor, go and get jars from your friends. Remember at that time when I was going through that season of emptiness, right? I don't know how to reach out. I really have problem reaching out. I look through at my handphone. There's nobody. There's nobody I wanted to text to that I think I'm comfortable in talking to. Even if finally I found one name, right? I type the message so long, then I delete, then I off my phone. And I realize people start to see the difference in me. I start to smile less. I used to walk very happily. I start to walk slowly, or I start to withdraw myself from the crowd. And it was the constant follow-up from my family. "Hey, how are you? How are you getting on?" Constant follow-up by Pastor Ting, Teresa, my own leaders, Clement and Lily, and even my LG members who don't even know what is going on. What they did was, they just buy food that I like without asking questions, you know? And it was all this small, small gesture that filled up my love tank. Maybe they didn't buy for me lah, but they just say, "Hey, got rice," and that rice happened to be something I like. Okay, and it's all these small actions that provide all these positive emotions, and it helps me to reduce all the negative emotions that's eating me up. I know some of us here, you may have a hard time reaching out. It's easy for you to connect to God, but when you want to reach out, maybe you don't know how. But I want to tell you is, or some of you think that's a very personal thing, I do not want to share. But do you know, actually, you can reach out, you can have a community, and yet you can still have a privacy. You can be vulnerable, yet you can still have your own privacy. You do not need to share everything. I believe when the widow go and get jars from the neighbor, she don't need to share everything. "My husband died lah, I got the people want to catch my son lah, I cannot pay all my..." She don't need, she just knocked the door and say, "Do you have jar? I need jars." We can do that. And you know, reach out doesn't mean that I need to tell every single thing to my LG member, my LG leader. But one thing you can do is you can cry out to God. Connect with God time, you can tell everything. When come to connect with people, you can connect in your comfortable level, comfortable pace. And this brings me to my third point. When we say that in the widow story, it shows that bring, then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon, every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said. There aren't any more, he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. What I like about this widow is she really not only have faith, you know, she obeyed. When Elijah say, go and take jar, she go. Can I have my jars up? I also got bring jar, okay? Okay, so what I want to tell you on my third point is contribution. What we talk about contribution, it can be your time. Some of you have extra time. Some of you have extra money. You can call me. I give you my number. Some of you have extra talent. You are very good. You don't need to talk. You stand up here, people will laugh. Right? Some of you have very good resources. You know, when we are in a limited mode, right? When you have limited resources, you are in a survival mode. What we do, our first reaction is always to hold on to what we have. But Elijah say, pour. But pouring out is scary. What if I pour and I do not have enough? What if I pour and my kids do not have enough? Okay? What happened is, I remember when I was going through that emptiness, that season of my life, I remember I being a top sales and I hit my target 1 month before the targets, and it was a breakthrough for me. But during a sales meeting, I was put down. Okay, and going through all those feelings, right? Every nation, Cheras, was set up. And Pastor Tim asked me, hey, do you want to try being a host? And then slowly, slowly, do you want to lead a campus LG? And then slowly, slowly, you want to lead, want to try preaching? Okay. I say yes to all of it because I know at that time I needed to connect to God. And by serving, it helps me to make sure I'm on track. So what I did was, I'm very empty. I leave a bit of oil, I pour. I say yes to host. By the way, if you are hosting, right, your next career pathway is preaching, lah. Huh? Let you know, huh? Okay? Okay? So after that, I say yes to Campus LG, okay? And I enjoy playing the piano. This one I own self volunteer one, keyboard, okay? And as I pour and pour and pour, what I realized was, I was getting better as I pour. My olive oil, wow, getting more and more, you know? And it's at that point of time, I felt my inner world gets stronger. And when you pour, right, actually at the end of the day, do you know you are piling up oil to live on? The widow lost her husband, but she has other things to live on. You know, we may have a lot of things that's running, we are overwhelmed and all, but as you pour, you are piling up oil to live on. And what happened when I turned around, I realized, I got a lot of things to depend on. When I was empty, I forgot to depend on. And I realized, this was the one that when I served as a host, I was looking at verses and I was inspired by the verses. And then when my LG grow, people has been telling me, hey, Lydia, I'm happy to come to LG. It fits my soul so well, you know. And after that, I realized, that's when I cry in the sofa alone, God gave me a verse when I was writing journal and look back at it. Hey, God was with me all the time. I wasn't alone, even though I may feel alone at that time. The biggest one is what? Preaching, oh? Why? Preaching, you need to read everything. You don't read verse only, right or not? So I realized that it was preaching that helps me to get connected with God so much. I need to do so much research. And it was contributing, pouring, that helps me to get myself back again. Do you know the widow, right? She only left with a bit of oil, correct? But she wasn't pouring out from a full jar. All this while, when she poured for her boys, she only has that a bit of oil left. But she believes and she obeys. When Elisha said, go and take jar, she don't have much oil, she just borrowed the jars. And she just continued pour, until she asked the son, where's other jars? Any more jars? And the oil stopped flowing. Do you know we will not be 100% ready to serve one? Correct or not? People ask, you want to ting. Go back, got ting meh? May not, ma. Correct or not? And we may not be 100% equipped to serve. If I'm 100%, I won't be standing here, lah. Correct or not? But it was the limited capability, the limited things that we have, that God power can flow through us. Because it's not about us. At the end of the day, it's all about God. And it's because I have not enough that I can see the power of God flow through me. So I want you all to know, be generous with your love. Be generous with your time. Be generous with your talent, any resources that you have. And let's go to the end of the story. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your son can live on what is left over. Do you know, when you are in an empty season, or while I'm in an empty season, I don't see what I have. I see what others have and what I don't have. But actually, at this season, what God wants to do is actually me. God wants to deal with me. And I realized it was connecting with God that I start to see how God shifts my perspective. And I realized when I change me, I change us in my marriage. When I change me, I change how my kids respond to me. I change me, I change how I feel about my working environment. And you are always part of your solution. God will always use what we have, you know. And I want to encourage all of you that all this vase, all this oil that I keep on, it was through connecting with God, having a community, and also it was through my contribution that I gained most of it. And if you are in this season of emptiness, I will encourage you, start with connecting with God. Get yourself soaked in the presence of God. After hearing from me, the faith of a mother, we also want to hear the story of a mother who many of you know her personally. Let's invite Caroline and Pastor Mark.
Before my tall, beautiful wife speak, yeah, I always joke, I always look up to her, pun intended. For those who don't know us, we have been building in this wonderful family of God, every nation since 1992, okay? You all can count the years now, do the mathematics. Yeah, but we have been together in this church, and it's been a privilege to be part of every nation, Church Malaysia. We, throughout our life here, and we have three adult children, two sons, one daughter, and recently two daughters-in-laws. So we have added to the family. So yeah, the context of one of the things is that Pastor Tim texted me some time back, and we have been exchanging texts talking about wanting Caroline to share something, right? So that is the thing that's been texting to and fro, and the last thing she texted me is, I got a good idea. So we are trying to do what Pastor Tim has in mind, a good idea, because he didn't share the good idea, but we believe giving honor to God is a good idea, right? So I think that's why Caroline is here today. I give you a bit of context. Caroline was diagnosed with a brain tumor back in August last year. She has gone through 2 brain surgery after that and went through 6 weeks of intense radiotherapy. Back in February this year, she went for the 3rd brain surgery. So she has gone through 3 surgeries. And now we are in the midst of a new regime or treatment of chemotherapy, sometimes every 2 weeks, sometimes every week, so depending on the blood tests and all those sort of things. So we are in the midst of that. And so I want to praise God for her, and that's where she's going to pick up on her testimony for this.
Morning, church. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. You are so blessed. Okay, I want to stand here today, actually not to share how strong I was or I am after going through all the surgeries, the chemotherapy, radiotherapy, but I want to honor God and share what a good and what a faithful God He is, and how His power is made perfect in my weakness, in my desperation. You know, when I first heard the news that was in August last year, my life was turned upside down. It could not be happening to me. This is not real. I mean, I've been a Christian for many, many years. I've been serving in the house of the Lord. How could this be happening to me? And especially in the time when I was waiting for surgery in the pre-operating theater, all the thoughts that goes through my mind. How am I going to do? How am I going to go through this? God, where are you? It's true, when we face with things we cannot understand, we cannot digest, we always ask God, where are you? And yet I was reminded a few months earlier, God has dropped a verse in my heart, and that is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Do you know that God walks ahead to fight our battles? He calms the storm. He knows our road. He knows the path we are going to take. He knows how to lead us through it. He understands our coming trauma. He understands what we are fighting every day. And He will lead us through it, no matter how tough, how many cares we carry. I was really gripped by fear, anxiety. I was gripped by delay, confusion also. I was wondering who is going to take care of my family. As a mom, that's your first thought, is always for your kids. Even though my kids are adult children already. I think regardless whether they're 5 years old or 50 years old, they're still your kids. But that's what my thought is. Who's going to take care of my husband, my family? What's going to happen? So many, many questions. So many things that ran through your mind. So many uncertainty. Many what ifs. What's going to happen? And yet, as I surrender to Him, I see His hands every day, every single day. How He sustains me, how He gives me grace peace and strength every single day. At times when I feel desperate, I just cry out to Him. God, I know You are with me. Your word says, You never leave me, You know, forsake me. You go ahead and You prepare the way. That's how I see. When I pray that, I see God really preparing the day, how He provides for every need, whether it's big needs, small needs, even the medical team, the doctors, every single thing. He even provides for a dental surgery when I need one the most. And that's how God is. You know, when we face desperate situation, even maybe some of us face tough financial crisis, health crisis, family situation, we can trust in God. That's why today I'm here to tell you, we can trust in Him wholeheartedly. We can trust in Him because He has loved us with an everlasting love. That's in the book of Jeremiah. And in the book of Romans, it says that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Not tribulation, distress, persecution, nakedness, danger, or sort. But in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, or anything present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth. Nothing in this creation can separate us from the love of Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's how I find my assurance. His love is there, is always there. He has never forsaken me. He has never left me. Even though I may felt I have been left. You see, I was an adopted child. So all my life, I always feel that I was being abandoned. But God's word says He has never left. He has never forsaken me. So I tell God at His word, God, You are the true God. And You are always with me, always and always. So I, after reading all these verses and how God assured me of His love, I told God, I will keep my eyes fixed on You. You are the author and finisher of my faith. I shall not look to the left, to the right, to the diagnosis, to the circumstances, to how I feel. Because not every morning I feel full of faith. Not every morning I'll feel good. No, not on how I feel or the circumstances, but I choose to keep my eyes fixed on You because You are the author and the perfecter of my faith. And I choose to pray without ceasing. I choose to give thanks because I know this is the will of God for me. I also want to praise God for the support and encouragement from my family, for Mark, my three kids, my two new daughter-in-laws, and my extended family, and also this church family. How many of you have come and visited me and prayed for me and encouraged me with words of encouragement and just cheering me on? That meant so much to me. And it shows that, you know, I'm part of this bigger family and God's family. I'm not alone. Yeah. So now I'm still undergoing chemo. I'm still continuing to trust God for His healing, His complete healing in Jesus' name. And I continue to fix my eyes on Jesus who never failed me. He has never failed me before. He will never fail me. Amen. So what I want to share today is today you may be facing a financial situation, a health situation, a family crisis, something that went wrong that you never expect it to happen, something that you're not prepared for. But know that God is always with you and you can turn to Him. He is sovereign. There is no God like our God. He is sovereign. And He's true to His word. Will He promise and not do it? He's not man that He would change His mind. But God is a God that keeps His promises and true to His word. We can trust that He's always with us. Always with us. So if you face a situation that is too big for you, look to God, look to Jesus, and Jesus will come true for you. It's just who He is. He cannot turn away, because He has received you as His child, and you are the child of God. So I want to encourage all of you today, if you are facing something that is really beyond yourself, continue to trust God. Continue to stand on His word and confess it over your life. Because that's where you find strength. That's where you find the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding. Yeah. Praise God. This is what I want to share today. And all glory and honor be to God. There's no God like our God.
Yeah, she's the pillar of the whole family faith, and she's the one that, when she came up from operation, you know, every time she would ask, hey, has somebody follow up one-to-one with somebody? I said, oh, you're in ICU, you know, so the sort of conversation I have with her. So she's always thinking about other people. Oh, yeah, so has somebody follow up with certain people? So I told her, yeah, you're in the ICU, my wife, you have to recuperate first. So her heart is always thinking about others. And in the two weddings, I remember she really shared her heart out. She was really weak. She can't really move. She was sitting on the chair most of the time. But when she stand up, people say parents' privilege, right? Yeah, you have to talk during the wedding, right? She take that moment to actually share her testimony. So I thought that's what who she is, and she really want to share God's heart with other people. So, yeah, I want to honor my wife. Happy Mother's Day to my wife, and happy Mother's Day to everybody. Yeah. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Ma. Thank you, Caroline. I think Caroline really demonstrates us pouring, right? She's going through her own battle, but at the same time, she's still pouring. She made time to come here. She made time standing here. She made time preparing the message that she wants to share. I remember when I was going through that empty season, right? It was that season my faith grew the most. And regardless in this season of emptiness, like Caroline, you may feel empty physically, or like me, you may feel empty emotionally, or like the widow, you are empty on both. But I want to tell you, connect back to God. Connect back to the source of strength, because God's faithfulness never runs out. And don't forget the people around you. If you have problem connecting with God, talk to somebody. Continue yourself. Don't let what you are feeling stop you from contributing, stop you from serving God. And today, as we have the worship team, I want all of us to rise. There's this song that it helps me go through that season of my life. It's a very
all things are new. It's only the beginning when God is in it. All things on you.
Here comes the
people that I think God wants to speak to you. You may be feeling very, very empty, but yet you still need to move on. I want to tell you, God is going to fill the emptiness. God sees the emptiness. Another category of people, you know, God sees it. The problem is the situation is not changing at all. And you are waiting, waiting, and waiting. There's no answer. But I'm telling you, God's way is higher than our way. He will definitely do some best work in this season of your life. Just continue to hang on to God. Continue to connect with God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you that you give us the story of the widow. You give us the story from Caroline. Father God, we want to pray that God, even as we go through that own battle of ourselves that we are fighting right now, God, we are not alone. And God, when you are in it, all things are new. Nothing is over. It's just the beginning, Father God. And we want to give you this glory even at this moment, this season of our life. We pray that we continue to hang on to you. We will put everything, put you in the center of everything. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, everybody.